So, I don't know if you actually care about the footnotes or not, but I figure, at least until I hear otherwise, I will go ahead and read them to you. Some of them have sort of, discussion from the authors, and some are merely citations. But I figure, at least for the sake of the ones that have discussion, they're worth reading. And I figure I will read them on sort of a per section basis. But I'll make separate files for them, so if you want to skip the footnotes, you can just skip those files. So, footnotes for the first section of Chapter 4, Left Modernity. Footnote 1. This expansionary process has been conceived of in a variety of, parentheses, not incompatible, ways. For instance, through uneven and combined development, spatial fixes, and expanding cycles of hegemony. In each case, though, the expansion or expansionary nature of capitalist universalism is readily apparent. See, respectively, Neil Smith, Uneven Development, Nature, Capital, and the Production of Space, London, Verso, 2010. David Harvey, The Limits to Capital, London, Verso, 2006. Giovanni Arrighi, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, The Long 20th Century, Money, Power, and the Origins of Our Time, London, Verso, 2009. Footnote 2. For a lengthy defense of this claim, see Vivek Chhibor, Postcolonial Theory and the Specter of Capital, London, Verso, 2013, paragraph 9.4. Footnote 3. Quote, "For it is finally the universal which furnishes the only true denial of established universalisms." Unquote. François Julien on the Universal, the Uniform, the Common, and the Dialogue Between Cultures, Cambridge, Polity, 2014, page 90. Footnote 4. Mark Fisher and Jeremy Gilbert, Reclaim Modernity, Beyond Markets, Beyond Machines. London, Compass, 2014, pages 12 through 14. Footnote 5. Sandro Mizadra. How Many Histories of Labor? Towards a Theory of Postcolonial Capitalism. European Institute for Progressive Cultural Policies, 2012, at eipcp.net. Footnote 6, Mark Fisher, Capitalist Realism, Is There No Alternative? Winchester, 0, 2009. Footnote 7, similar arguments have also been made about postmodernity. See Harvey, The Condition of Postmodernity, An Enquiry into the Origins of Cultural Change, Oxford, Wiley Blackwell, 1991. Footnote 8, Peter Wagner, Modernity, Understanding the Present, Cambridge, Polity, 2012, page 23. Footnote 9. For a similar argument with respect to development, in quotes, see Kalin Sanyal, Rethinking Capitalist Development, Primitive Accumulation, Governmentality, and Postcolonial Capitalism, New Delhi, Routledge, India, 2013, page 92. Footnote 10. To give a sense of this variety, Jameson outlines 14 different proposals for the beginning of modernity as historical period. Friedrich Jameson, A Singular Modernity, Essay on the Ontology of the Present, London, Verso, 2002, page 32. Footnote 11. Alberto Toscano, Fanaticism on the Uses of an Idea, London, Verso, 2010. Also, Frederick Cooper, Decolonization and African Society, The Labor Question in French and British Africa, Cambridge, Cambridge University Press, 1996. Footnote 12, Chhibor, Post-Colonial Theory, page 233. And finally, for this section, footnote 13, we seek to follow Susan Buck Moss, Buck Morse, excuse me, M-O-R-S-S, when she writes, "The rejection of Western centrism does not place a taboo on using the tools of Western thought. On the contrary, it frees the critical tools of the Enlightenment for original and creative application." Susan Buck Morse, Thinking Past Terror, Islamism, and Critical Theory on the Left, London, Verso, 2003, page 99.